Welcome to That Broker Girl. I am That Broker Girl. I'm Sandy Lynn Burnett. I'm a realtor with EXP Realty. I've also got another realtor here with me from the same kick-ass brokerage, EXP Realty. I've got Josh Patrick in the house.
From the Van Dale Group.
We've become fast friends,
yes,
I'd like to say.
We have.
Yeah. We get along. I just wanted to, like, watch myself talk on Facebook here, so I had to pull that up. One of these days, you guys, I'm going to get a lot smoother at that. So I just wanted to bring Josh on the show because he is a former lender. You don't do lending anymore,
no.
Do you? Okay,
no.
I wanted to make sure on that.
Fresh out, just dedicated to doing real estate transactions.
So Josh and I were getting drunk one time, and at a great local establishment, Pints, by the way. We celebrated their opening day. That was awesome.
There are a lot of people here, but I haven't gotten sick yet.
Yeah, interesting.
It was pretty close. Hmm. Pretty tight-knit there.
Yes. Okay, so we got to get drunk at Pints, and we just started talking, like, smack to each other about, you know, it was kind of like, hey, here's how not to fuck up a deal. Like, stop blaming the lender and everything. And I'm like, that's a great, like, podcast episode. Would you want to come on? I know that for me, when I did real estate in my first few years, I had to take a test on what meets and bounds are, and I know what real property is, and easements, and encroachments, and all this other garbage is what I like to know. But nobody taught me, you know, when you get an offer accepted, here's the shit you should be doing.
Or not doing.
Yeah.
Like maybe that bill of sale that you've got where they're getting the washer and the dryer, the refrigerator, basically all the appliances in the house. Don't send that to your lender.
Exactly.
Smart lender will tell you right away, what's this? I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Don't put them in that position.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, like what... It was just really funny because there are things that I didn't even know I should be doing until one time I saw an email chain between the lender and my client, and they were like talking shit, like your realtor should have been doing this for you. And it's like, well, I don't fucking know. Like, until you do like hundreds of deals and you kind of like fall your way up, I guess, is how you learn this stuff. So I'm like, well, let's get you on the show. This has seasoned agents, new agents, but like this is your chance to basically defend the honor of lenders and also help a few agents out, help
well,
a few of your fellow brothers
lot.
And sisters out, you know?
Well, defending the honor of lenders, I'll do my best here as a former lender. I could tell you some of the things I've seen. I've been doing this now for 2 months as a real estate agent and 5 transactions under my belt. I've been to several homes that I've shown that there's no way in hell these houses would pass FHA or VA.
I'm so glad that we're going to talk about that.
I mean, this is not rocket science. If you're new, obviously, if you're where we're at EXP, you're getting mm-hmm. good training. I could tell you when I started EXP, I had like 10 different people beating my phone up. Hey, you know, we're going to be your mentor. I have Ryan Van Dale as a mentor. I don't need anybody else outside the area.
Ryan's kind of my unofficial mentor, too.
And I don't need another mentor.
Yeah.
I've got the best,
yeah,
in my opinion, for where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But if this house has got peeling paint all over it, or even on the windowsills, where the appraiser is going to see this the minute they walk into the house, or the minute they pull in the driveway and see this, guess what the appraiser is going to do? Laundry list you, which means they're going to walk through that house and they're going to find every little thing that doesn't meet an FHA appraisal or VA appraisal code.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, if you're listing properties or if you're even taking your buyers out to show properties, be vigilant about that. Don't make it more complicated. Don't write a deal, especially if your borrower, well, in this case, your client, your buyer, is only approved through FHA, which, you know, I don't know what the stats are, but maybe 55% of people that are approved can only go FHA. So don't lose a house because a listing agent missed it and didn't get a good look at the peeling paint or maybe a broken window. Those are simple fixes in a lot of cases, especially this time of year. That would be, you know, something to be on the watch for right now.
Maybe if you are the listing agent, and you think that it could go FHA or VA kind of like eventually, maybe don't list that, but then put it in the comments or something, like in your agent remarks, like your private remarks, like seller willing to fix peeling paint or something.
So you're saying maybe something says it could be FHA-ish?
What's weird is like, why are realtors even checking the boxes of what types of financing it should go under? Like when I list houses, I need to put USDA, conventional, cash, FHA, VA, ABC, DEFG. And it's like, okay, great. That's another thing where I kind of like fell up on. Like I realized like through many like fuck ups of my past, like this won't pass and this will pass. But like, is that a disservice to my seller to not try and check all those boxes and let it be the buyer's problem?
No, you want it to be open to as many people as possible. And like I said, an easy way to know is if you see any peeling paint in the house anywhere that's obvious, if there's some spots that might be hard to find, you know, appraisers aren't going through the magnifying glass, but don't give them a reason to look deeper.
Okay.
You know, you want to make it as easy as possible on that listing so when the appraiser comes. The reason why you want to check those boxes so it says USDA, VA, you know, FHA, mm-hmm. is because it opens it to more buyers. And, you know, obviously as a listing agent, your goal is to get that thing down to ideally one day on market if it's not in Bettendorf or mm-hmm. Pleasant Valley or LeClaire. So help yourself, you know, help out these buyers in that regard, because there's nothing worse than an appraisal coming back saying subject to repairs or subject to a cure. Well, that cure may be, mm-hmm. you know, $4,000 for the paint. Your seller's saying, pound sand, I'm not going
to
do that.
And then if you're representing the buyer's pissed because they have to pay for a reinspect from
yep.
the appraiser.
When the appraiser goes back out, that has to be paid. So that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But those are easy things right now you can easily catch. You know, in the winter months, those might be a little bit tougher on the exterior of a property, but... And the roof is another thing. I've seen a couple properties where the roof looks so bad that the appraiser is most likely going to ask for a roof inspection. Well, good luck.
I've never even had that happen.
Oh, I've seen a couple of them.
I've had them flag some shingles yeah. and or actually a complete tear off. They didn't even ask for an inspection, but...
And good luck getting a roof inspector out there right now with all the hail damage
we've
had.
I know.
You know, and that's the other thing. If you've had hail damage on a property... and the insurance company has agreed to pay for it to get done, your best just to get it done now before you can get through closing. You know, list it, but still get that roof work done.
That's awesome. I've got a couple of those happening right now.
Yeah, the hail loves the Quad Cities.
Oh, yeah. And roof people love hail. I don't want to put it like that, but they were like, I literally saw like dollar signs in all their eyes when we started getting that hail storm.
It's big. Hey, so Sandy, I have a question for you. You know, me being new as a real estate agent, but having years of working with agents, what do you hate most about lenders? Give me your number one thing you hate.
I want pre-approvals like ASAP. I want to know when you've contacted the buyer that I've sent, and I want to know the status of it, and I want them approved or an answer to me like ASAP. I've had buyers fucking slip through the cracks because I tried to, like, give a lender a chance and stuff. And in this, like, competitive market, it's just...
So I would say that's key. And if you have that relationship with a lender, your lender is probably answering the phone whenever you call them. I would hope.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And this is not a knock on banks or some of the credit unions in our area, but they don't necessarily have to work past 5 o'clock. And again, that's not a slight to any of our banks or credit unions, because some of you may be working past those hours and answering phone calls. But a lot of times, you know, once 5 or 6 o'clock rolls around, that's it. You don't get a call back. I know a lot of the brokers, the mortgage brokers in our area, you know, this is their bread and butter, their lifeblood. They don't get paid if they don't close on a loan. Mm-hmm. So answering your call, especially when it's you calling, you know, between now and say 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I've already shown a couple homes as late as 9:30, mm-hmm. and then it comes down to, hey, are we going to write this offer?
Yeah.
And I can tell you, if they haven't been pre-approved, and of course, everybody wants their borrowers to be pre-approved, but let's face it, mm-hmm. that's a luxury sometimes, especially with the market as hot as it is right now. I know a couple lenders that if I call them or text them, you know, I don't care if they're in the shower, they're going to see that call, they're going to answer it.
Yeah.
And it's good to have those people on standby. It doesn't necessarily mean that your borrowers are going to stick with them, but if they're getting great service from them, they most likely will.
Exactly.
And something I was going to throw at you, because now I'm on the other side of the fence on this, asking lenders for a loan commitment. Any lenders out there watching this, they're probably cringing like, Josh, shut the fuck up about loan commitments. I can tell you, I hated those two words.
I mean, it's part of our contract. It's part of the purchase agreement. So.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not going to mention other brokerages out there as far as real estate brokers, but we all know there's a couple key ones out there that are all about the loan commitment by a certain date.
Yeah.
And while I do agree the loan commitment is important, if your borrower is pre-approved and pre-qualified, and there is a difference between pre-qualified and pre-approved, and I can tell you that real quick.
Pre-qualified, I want to get
they
into
applied,
that.
It looks like their credit's good. I don't have all their documents, but they look good. They got a great score. Pre-approved means your lender better have gone through all of their shit, their W-2s, their tax returns, their bank statements. Mm-hmm. These people are gold, Sandy. Roll it.
And our purchase agreement actually dictates a pre-approval, not a pre-qualification. And so it's kind of interesting when I'm like, hey, how about that pre-approval? And they send me the same shit. I'm like, nope, not gonna work here.
So let me throw in a little fun fact for you here that maybe many of the real estate agents in this area don't know. If you ask that lender if they're pre-approved and you've given them a property address, the lender has to input the property address and has 3 days to get disclosures to the borrower and pre-approve the buyer. So that would be something key to discuss with. If you're working with the new lender, someone's taking out to lunch saying, hey, we can do this, this, and this. Ask them what their qualification process is, what kind of documents they're getting when they do it.
We have a comment from somebody that I just would like to read out loud, because it's from your boss.
Oh, and she did have time to watch. Oh, he.
He.
Yeah.
The
sorry.
Other boss.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
The other boss. He goes, I'm forcing my kids to listen while we are on a road trip. Aiden says to tell Josh that he is poetic, and Scarlett says Sandy talks like my dad. She's a potty mouth.
Oh, God, you make the kids watch us? So now we all got to, like, watch what we're saying?
No, because I talk this way in front of my poor child.
Vandale kids. Earmuffs.
Yeah, earmuffs. Why are you watching this shit?
And driving?
God, no. You're a bad parent, Ryan.
He's a great parent. He's got a very long drive. And he's coming back tomorrow because nobody would do anything out there. They all pulled the coronavirus business on
him. Oh, man, what a bummer.
If I didn't have to stay here and kind of watch over the shop, I'd be out there, too.
Well, I was going to say that, though. If you are, you know, tuning into our show live, this is like your chance. Your chance to ask Josh any questions. I mean, it's great because he has a real estate license and he used to be a lender. Like, this dude can answer anything. So, I mean, it's a golden opportunity. If you don't have a chance to watch it live, you can always type questions in later and we can, like, nag him to death until he answers. So we've got that, too.
I'll do my best. And remember, 68% of statistics are usually made up on the spot.
That's bullshit.
Okay. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less. So you say. I don't know what the over-under is on it.
What? Okay. So just to wrap it up on the FHA and VA stuff. This is going to be a totally, like, vulnerable question from me, but how do I know that a roof's bad? If I'm helping my buyer, you know, like, sometimes I'm with buyers and they're like, oh, that roof's terrible. And I'm like, really? Because I can't tell.
Can I plug a local company that one of my best friends works for?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah, you can. I'm just messing all right, with you. You can say whatever you want.
So my awesome friend, Hope Perry, that works for QC Roof Doctors, could give you a little bit of a lesson and show you a couple roofs to give you an idea. We aren't trained experts, so it's impossible for us to be 100% accurate. But a general visual of a roof, if you see a roof peeled up, if you see deep faded out spots, or a lot of times the easy way is when you see the black tar patching on the roof. That's usually someone watched a YouTube video and figured out, hey, I'll just use some Flex Seal and that'll fix it.
Or several, like, layers of shingles. I know that at least.
That's always a giveaway if you catch it, for certain. But knowing if it's going to need a new roof, or at least being able to catch something when you're looking at a property, it's good to know. because A, you're going to help your buyers out, or A, if you're the listing agent, you're going to help your sellers out by preparing them that there's the possibility it may need a new roof. And they probably already know this. Those are just some key things to look at. But I've been noticing that a lot, besides the peeling paint, is that a lot of the roofs I've seen, even on some of the nicer homes, tend to be a little rough looking.
Somebody commenting on here wants to know why you are drinking Girly.
Well, that's a very fair question.
Can I answer it?
Go for it.
It's because Josh called me and he was like, can we really drink alcohol on this show? And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't bring any because I didn't have time. He's like, I'll pick something up. What would you like? And the rest is history.
Hey, she's the host, so I didn't want to offend her.
I'm feeling tropical today.
But if you would like some dank-ass craft beer, I highly recommend Midwest Ale Works at the Rust Belt in East Moline.
Wes and I were just there last week. Beautiful day. Had a beer with Ryan as well. Another little shout-out for you, Ryan. Hey, and if you haven't heard our Ryan episode, definitely go back and listen to that. Did you listen to it?
It's really good.
You did actually listen to it?
I was drunk when I listened to it, which made it even better.
Yeah. So, perfect. Awesome.
It was really good.
How do I... Like, here was basically our title. I didn't cuss in the title, but it's how not to fuck up a deal.
You know, Ryan's kids are listening, right?
What are some other things that I can do to look like, to build a better relationship with my lender and then also, like, rock it out for my clients?
Well, I think lenders have really stepped up their game overall, and communication is key. If you're constantly calling your lender because you're not getting a response, I can just tell you that's because they most likely don't have a response from underwriting or their processor hasn't gotten through the file yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be they're scared shitless, the file is on thin ice, and shit could get blown up real quick and they don't want to have to tell you. Let's hope it's not number three. In most cases, it's number one and number two. You don't want to get the number three. So to build a great relationship with your lender, the communication is going to be key. Getting them the proper documents that they need, especially when you're getting your forms signed and sent over to them, is going to be paramount. And I would also recommend, if you can, have a second person proofread your offer and all the documents in it before you send it to the lender.
Ooh.
Because I can tell you there are some lenders in the area, and not just here, but one that rhymes with Sprocket, that can be a real challenge if you send documents over to them and there's an error or something you didn't want them to see. Not saying that there's
that's a really good point. Like, I am the most guilty of that. I send shit to my lender before I even upload it and, you know, and get it approved with my brokerage. Like, I have like a fully executed offer and it's like immediately going off to my lender because I always push them on really tight timelines. And so, I mean, I'm definitely going to take that tip to heart.
You probably just lost a few lenders from ever calling you with that comment. But I'm teasing because you're pushing them on the last minute timeline.
I make their lives a living hell.
Oh, they love that. Oh, what? It's got to close, what, next 10 days?
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely, we can do that.
Ding.
I would throw this out there. Proofread that every page before you send it. And if you can, have a second person just proofread it to make sure the documents that should be in there are sent and the proper documents are complete on there. I could tell you, just 6 months ago, I received the wrong purchase agreement from a real estate agent.
Like the completely wrong address.
It was for somebody else.
Oh, no.
And then they were gone on vacation, didn't have anybody helping them. So for 3 days,
God.
I'm like, okay, I'm relying on the borrower at that time to tell me what the proper address is and what they think the offer was for and what they were supposed to be getting. So,
no, that just sounds like a shitty agent.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, if you cannot do your job, like, if you can't do it same day or next day and fix these things as they go along, I mean...
For certain.
GTFO.
Like I said, the communication is key. And like I said, if your lender isn't calling you back right away and the file's in process, don't panic on it. They may just not have responses because, you know, with the refi boom and everything that's going on, you know, the lender can move much faster than their underwriter can.
And do lenders like refis or purchases more? Is the money the same with it?
I mean, a smart lender wants your purchase because statistically, again, we're throwing out the stats. That purchase could lead to a potential for 25 more refis or purchases over the next 4 years. Yeah. If they harness that relationship right. That's not saying every one of those is going to be that way, but the numbers are there that if they do it right, that can build even more business and obviously helps you with your, you know, if the lender is taking good care of your client. I've got some clients right now that I've referred to a couple of different lenders and, you know, they've had a few issues like, hey, well, I didn't quite understand that. And of course I understand it. So I explain it to them. Sometimes lenders get into lender speak, just like we get into realtor talk. Mm-hmm. I've noticed certain trigger words we use that if you're not conveying it, maybe in layman's terms or basically even street talk, like, hey, let me translate what this means. Here's what we're really talking about. And a good lender will be able to know the client well enough to be like, all right, here's how it's going.
So, well, a smart thing that you asked me before we went on the air was, who's our audience? Is this, you know, and I was like, oh, don't worry. This is aimed at agents. I'm sure that, you know, the general public, like I've had people tune in randomly and then call me with questions, which is totally awesome. But I mean, it's aimed at agents, so you already knew that you could cut out, like, most of the bullshit or the Barney stuff. You don't have to break it down Barney style, as we say in the core.
Well, and you'd have to. The other thing, too, is, you know, a lot of folks that we're getting are what they call transient, meaning they're moving from another area to where we're at. And they might be using some national lender. And those people are really hard to get a hold of. And that's where, you know, I've seen some agents say, hey, I'd really like you to get a local pre-approval. That's fine if you're going to use these folks, but we know these folks here in town. They answer the phone. We can communicate with them. And those are going to be some challenges that lenders and realtors are going to run into because it's only going to step up in the automated age that we live in.
Well, honestly, that's exactly what I tell my clients is, hey, I'm sure you're used to using these people, but honestly, in the competitive market that we're in a lot of the local areas within the Quad Cities, I'm like, your offer, like you might lose the deal just because you're not having a local pre-approval.
Right.
Like listing agents go over that shit with their, if they're doing their job right, they go over their, you know, they go over everything, every offer in a multiple offer situation and every detail, including the pre-approval.
You know, I got lucky when I first got into this business because the first couple of transactions I had were cash investors. So there was no pre-approval process for me. But the follow-up that I'm working on now, one of the key things is I ask the lenders I work with on these deals I'm currently in, before we wrote the offer, hey, give me the maximum they could spend. You know, do we need seller concessions? Because on this particular property, I don't think the seller is going to give us $5,000 in seller concessions. And that's going to be critical, is to be able to be on the same page. And I highly recommend you get on a text basis because I get 100 emails a day right now. And when I was a lender, I probably got 40 emails a day. So to try to sort through all those emails, text your lender, text them, hey, I sent you this email. Check it when you get a chance. Here's where we're at on this.
And, you know, not only that, but I would just like to give a little shout out to all the listeners right now. And we're going to make sure we plug your info at the end of the episode. But just all my listeners, I realize that I give my email address out a lot of the times. And just so you know, I like hardly ever check my email. It is my least favorite form of communication ever since I quit AOL. So,
well, let's see. My inbox right now has,
mine has like 27,000.
24,492 emails. Guess how many of those America. I've read.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
no, those are my unreads.
And those are just from friends.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I, you know, so yeah, I completely agree with text. And, you know, Ryan and I were talking about Marco Polo last week because I like text, but I also like a quick personal answer if it's too long to text, too.
If you could get all your lender partners to use Marco Polo, it's great. Here's why I say
I tried.
It's great.
They didn't want to, though. Well, I didn't, like, ask current ones, but in the past, I tried to push a couple of them.
It might be time to find a more modern lender that's tech-savvy.
Yeah, I'll ask my current, like, favorites if they want to get on board with that, because you can save them and everything.
Why Marco Polo is great is because you can see the facial expression of your real estate agent as they're angrily sending you a video chat asking you, where the fuck is my loan commitment? Which all lenders love. But you could read facial expressions when someone sends you a video text. And Marco Polo is great for that. Whereas sometimes things get lost in a text and you can have a heated discussion. And there's been some times in the past where I've taken a text the wrong way thinking, wow, she's got some real balls talking to me like that. After all I've done for her.
Exactly.
When if I would have just taken a breath, yeah. Or she would have sent it through Marco Polo, which in fairness, we didn't have at that time.
Yeah.
If I could see her face, ask me, I'd be like, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm. I would have used you as a preferred lender if we...
That would have been great.
Yeah.
I could have disappointed you and made your day a lot of times.
Exactly. That's the best thing. It's the best relationship ever. The relationship with your lender.
It's an important one. You got to have a couple lenders that you really trust and know, hey, I know how they roll, you know, they may be a little bit different, but they'll get it done and they can tell me, here's what's really going on. Obviously, there's certain laws, so they can't say certain things, but I'll tell you what, you can read between the lines, especially in a video text.
Exactly.
No, this deal is going great.
But honestly, that's another thing that I did want to say about when you were asking me you didn't ask me what I look for in a lender. You asked me what I would hate or not put up with. And that's another thing is if I ever even have to even remotely ask for a loan commitment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to fucking think about that. Like, that's their lane. It's in the contract. Let me know if you can't meet that. Right now, what I do is I write it 3 days before close because that's when the CDs go out,
and that's perfect. And that's just being smart right there.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, you won't prematurely age your lender that way either. And it's not that you're out trying to kiss your lender's ass, but let's be real, you need your lender, and having a great lender relationship is key to this business. I know I could get on my phone right now. And I got a 1 in 3 chance of the 3 lenders I could talk to, that one of them's going to answer.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I was going to lead into with that is, you know, yeah, this kind of is also a how to not fuck up a deal and how to not make your lender's life a living nightmare. They are going to have to want to work with you as well. You could, you know, bring them all the clients in the world, but if you're a giant dickhead, like why would they want that nightmare? Lenders can do incredible things for your business. They can co-brand things. They can they can sponsor your opens, sponsor your realtor opens. Like, remember the days, like, when we could all gather, like, several people into one?
I think we got to do that again in 3 weeks, right?
Remember when it wasn't party. Weird,
there's a,
though?
Right, there's going to be a big listing in the clear. We're all going to be there on Tuesday.
And so, I mean... Like, you shouldn't have to, you know, shoulder that whole financial burden. You know, so many agents that I coach and I mentor, they never even fucking realized that was an option. Now, it's, you know, once again, check with your state laws and everything. But I'm like, no, literally, you can that's why they're called lending partners. You can have people, you know, co-pay for your marketing expenses on things as long as you guys are co-branded. A lot of that never has even occurred to agents. And how I had personally done business in the past is I've made sure to give business back to people who took a chance on me when I was a, you know, new agent and everything.
And that's it. You know, lenders are trained to go after the brand new agents that just come out like, hey, I want to try to get together with this person without really knowing their background. Like, you don't know how many transactions they're capable of closing. You're taking a gamble on it. And a lot of lenders won't make the effort to try to go after, you know, a veteran agent just because they feel like, well, they're already in pretty solid with their people. It's going to be hard to break that. I would recommend any new lender that is watching this, go after the buyer's agents. Look up and see. I'm not saying, hey, because I'm a buyer's agent, you should be calling me. I don't need you to take me to lunch or, you know, buy me shots of my favorite tequila, which, by the way, is Don Julio 1942. Did I say that? I'm sorry. So I don't need just you to do case. That. I just need you to take care of my client so that my client's not texting me asking me what they should be doing because you weren't able to give them, you know, maybe a street talk, mm-hmm. not lender talk. I'd prefer to have the lender close my deals so that, because it's a reflection on me. Mm-hmm. If I refer them to somebody like, hey, this guy sucks or this lady sucks, you know, then that's a reflection on me because I referred over there. And throughout history, I've been guilty of not giving the best communication to people. You know, we're human. Yeah. Lenders are human. But now that I've been in this for a few months on the real estate side, and I get to talk to other real estate agents, and I hear where they like to point blame, and I think, man, that's totally what's not happening behind the scenes right now.
Yeah.
You know, what's happening behind the scenes is you might have a tough-ass client that's stubborn, not getting bank statements to the lender, not getting their W-2s, or just too damn lazy, like, well, you'll figure it out if you want my business. And it really doesn't work that way. And I've asked some of my lenders to make sure that they text me and the client. We make sure the client's okay with that if they have questions for them, so I can be like, hey, I saw that this text came over. You know, are you having any issues with that? This is what
that
they're trying to get from
you. That is a really great point that you brought up, because I'm kind of, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a little bit of a hard ass.
I didn't get that at all. So, I thought you were the most sincere, sweet lady I've ever met. So, dude, you said you're a Marine.
Fucking
I was
lady?
Like,
never
Marine.
Call me that again.
By the way, Sandy showed up wearing combat boots. It's 95 goddamn degrees outside, and she's wearing combat boots.
I wore
right
my
now.
Kill boots, you guys.
I thought they probably have a steel toe, and I'm not so sure she doesn't have a AR-15 ready to rock.
I'll post
in the car.
A pic later, maybe, if you're lucky. That was an under the table thing happening.
Oh, I saw you. I was like, oh my god, I'm sweating right now just standing here, and I'm looking at you like, what?
They feel great. Like, I miss wearing these.
Yeah. No,
so anyway,
they're great.
What was the point I was about to make?
You're gonna throw in a 50-pound rucksack and go for a jog.
No,
oh,
you brought that
Marine.
Up.
Yeah.
Not no. Yeah, no. I'm a hard ass.
Oh, right.
And so the thing is I do believe that we should be a team, and the lenders that I currently do a lot of business with have been really good about, you know, letting me know, hey, so-and-so hasn't gotten XYZ to me yet. Second I text them or call them, magically, it's like, I am very good at that.
Yes.
Like, don't just let it fucking hang out there, and then I'm wondering, you know, oh, all of a sudden we're going to miss our contract deadline on X, Y, or Z. So I guess that's another really big point to bring up.
It's crucial. And
communication.
Like I said,
weird. Almost like we're in a relationship.
There's certain documents they can't. Hello. Like, this relationship's getting even better. Wes is waiting out in the parking lot. You're like, all right, you son of a bitch. Anyway.
Wes would probably pay you to take me.
Oh, like, I gotta take one of these Trulies as a peace offering.
Yeah.
Like, get that shit out of my face. Yeah. You're like, what
crushes
kind of,
it with this
beer? You drinking that? I'm like, it's 2020. I thought we're all friends. No.
My cheeks hurt. This is the first episode my cheeks have hurt.
It could be because of the mango.
It's pineapple.
I've got a pineapple mango. Or no, it is pineapple. I was going
to
say.
Now I'm reading the ingredients. I'm allergic to mango only from DeTest, from having been deployed to Haiti.
I got an EpiPen
in the car. And having only had a mango diet for like 4 months while I was in Haiti.
Wow. I can't imagine.
It's called the mango diet, y'all.
The mango diet. I don't think I could pull it off.
I associate a mango smell with like raw sewage.
Like fermented mango?
Yeah.
Oh, incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, where were we? No, honestly, like, I do need to give you a time hack. I know you have to get going.
Yeah,
I'm not kicking
roll.
You out. You're kicking yourself
out. No,
no.
I really appreciate the time here. And like I said, I'm not saying go out there and give your lender a big hug, because you might spread a disease of some kind right now. And that's probably frowned upon. But do get a great relationship with your lender.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask him or her the hard questions,
because lenders can be women as well.
I said him or her or her.
Anybody.
Yeah, anybody could be a lender. Sometimes it's a robot. But
oh, shit.
You know, and there's always ways to trick the robot with questions to find out if it's a robot. I'm dying. But that's another podcast, right?
You are so coming on the show again. I am dying.
I appreciate it.
So, Josh, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. This is actually a national platform. Sometimes we get referrals, like whatever you want to plug out there, your information, you know.
I know I just
your
threw
shoe
out.
Size. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, you know, I like Vans if you can't see them, but I got a collection of Vans
shoes. It's below
shoes.
The table.
Yeah,
thing,
it's below
Josh.
The table. I didn't wear my combat boots, but I will next time if it's not 90 degrees. Josh@vandalegroup.com. Best way to reach me, VANDAELE.com. Josh@vandalegroup.com. Sorry, I might have messed it up there, but it's Josh@vandalegroup.com. I would throw out my phone number out there, but just email me your questions so I can respond if you have questions. And like I said, you know, it doesn't hurt to go out and talk to your lender and really work on that relationship with her or him and get on the same page, you know, because it is a team and cutting your days down, avoiding potential fires is critical. And like I said, if it's a lender that you haven't worked with and they're approved somewhere else, sometimes you get a salty taste like, oh, I've heard bad things about them. But you also don't know their situation. You don't know mm-hmm. how shitty the credit was that that buyer had. So
wow, that's a really good point.
Keep that in mind that your lender might be working his or her his ass off to try to make this thing work for you because A, they want your business, but ultimately they don't get paid if they don't do the loan.
Just like us.
Especially if they're a mortgage broker. So, I mean, they're in just like you are. And I think overall in our area, we're really lucky. We have so many great lenders in this area that, I mean, you can't hit a 9-iron without hitting somebody that's in lending somewhere or real estate for that matter. But
I think it's a great idea for, you know, just as real estate agents are afraid to, you know, do cold reach outs to people and stuff, lenders feel the same way. They don't want to be like that guy or gal. And so I think that was a great tip that you gave for lenders. I just have to explain why I was about to die laughing when you were giving out your information. And it's because I gave Ryan shit last week about spelling his last name, and so it just like set me
we
off.
Need like a little bouncy ball on it, you know, like yes. VANDAELEGROUP.
Let's make a song sometime.
We can work on that.
Okay,
I'll bring my service guitar again and we'll get down.
Before we're wrapping it up now, I am that broker girl. I am Sandy with an I.
Final I. Sandy with a final I.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, that's what they call that, a final I.
Oh.
Like a Kelly with a final eye.
Do I have to buy that domain as well?
You probably shouldn't mention that if anybody's watching, because someone's just going to go out and buy that. They're going to go out and buy that now. And
my 11 listeners.
Better wrap this up so you can buy that.
Okay. I'm Sandy Burnett. Hit me up on Facebook. I am in, you know, realtor in the Quad Cities. If you ever want agent advice or, you know, if you're a consumer and want any advice, let me know. But I would like to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Landon Ross with Metronet. So if you want to not have terrible internet and you would like to upgrade into this century, like the one good thing that 2020 has brought us is Metronet.
And Lando is a great guy, by the way.
He is just...
I know, Landon.
Cool
awesome.
Person knows
awesome
Landon.
Dude.
Yes,
awesome
exactly. So he's a great guy, and he can get you a great deal if you go to him directly. So his information is Landon, LANDON, at etcommunications.net. If he's anything like me and doesn't check his email, which he probably isn't, he probably checks everything, but his number is also 563-200-5544. If you live anywhere, not even in the Quad Cities, you can even ask him to look up your neighborhood if it's in your area. In the Quad Cities, new neighborhoods are opening like every week. So if you're even remotely curious if it's coming to you anytime soon, hit him up. You can get your first month free and some other good stuff as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're definitely coming back.
I would love to.
And I think that's all for today. Did I sneak up on you there, Jay?
Good. Oh, namaste.
You're good.